And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Hello and welcome to the show. This is Andy Webb with Lifestyles Unlimited. And as always, we're working on your financial freedom. And hey, we made it. We cleared the threshold. We are in a brand new year, and I thank you for joining me. Hey, if you have any questions, send those over to me at askandy@luinc.com. Again, askandy@luinc.com. And I do hope that the holidays were good for you and your family. And I hope you're ready to blaze into the new year. Let's go get some stuff done. And of course, I'm thinking about the financial angle here. This is a real estate investor radio show, and we can really use real estate to improve your finances. And I have to ask you then, of course, what is your expectation for the new year with respect to your finances? Are they going to improve? Are they going to worsen, perhaps, or maybe stay the same? And a company called Bankrate.com, you may have heard of them, good place to go to check on mortgage rates, find a high-interest bank, that sort of thing. But they asked that question. So how do your fellow Americans feel, right, going into the new year? We're gonna take a look at the general mood in the country with this respect, and then talk about some ways to meet those financial goals, to be sure that at the end of this year, you look back and you're thrilled with the improvements that you've seen. But according to the survey, fewer than half think their finances will improve. 44% of Americans believe that their finances will improve this year. Now, that is an increase over past years. That's the good news. Last year, at the start of the year, 37% expected an improvement. The year before that, 34%. So we are trending upward. Some Americans still, however, are feeling the pain of inflation. We'll see where that goes. And top goal, we're going to talk about some of the goals Americans are setting for themselves with respect to finances. The very top goal is paying down debt. There's a slew of other things that we're thinking about as well. Those are the key findings, kind of the executive summary that they've told us about here. Interesting graph, though. 44% think they're going to do better this year. That number, you can actually split that, unfortunately, a little bit more. Only 14% say it's going to be, finances will be significantly better. 30%, much bigger number, said somewhat better. Now, those are subjective. I don't know what that means. 33% is going to say it's going to stay about the same. 13, somewhat worse. Unfortunately, 10% expect it to get significantly worse. I don't like the sound of that. I think we can get you into the at least somewhat better, if not significantly better category. It's interesting. They asked for the reasons people think that their financial situation will not improve in the current year. High inflation, 44% thought it was going to be high inflation. 30% said the work done by elected representatives. So about a third of us say those guys up on Capitol Hill are not going to help the situation. Now, they also have a graph that's kind of the inverse of that. What are the reasons that will help your financial situation get better? Interestingly, the top one on this one is lower levels of inflation, 36%. So we seem to be evenly divided on what's going to happen with inflation. Now, 25% think the work done by those very elected representatives may help. But there are other things in here: rising income, having less debt. Again, this was one of the top goals, and that was the top goal. So what are some of the other goals here that Americans have with respect to their finances for the coming year? Again, paying down debt, 21%. This is overall. It's kind of interesting. If you go to Bankrate.com, you can find this article. They've got the graph split up by Gen Z, Millennial, Gen X, my generation, and Baby Boomers. All of the older generations, that's a bigger focus. Gen Zers, younger, just don't have quite the debt, I suppose. Only 9% are interested in that category. So paying down debt, top category, top goal. Under that, we've got saving more money for emergencies at 12%, getting a higher paying job and adding in an additional source of income. We're going to tell you how you can do that. Saving more money for retirement at 8%, investing more money, a meager 8%. We talked just last week, in fact, about financial literacy in the United States, and I think most people would agree it's generally a problem. It's not something that's taught well, if at all, in primary schools. This is just kind of something you learn as you go, or maybe you'll learn it from your peers or from your parents. That's the top source of any kind of financial literacy in the country, in fact. But an abysmal number of people feel any level of confidence in their ability to create an investment plan. So I'm not surprised that only 8% of people are targeting a goal of investing more money. And there are a couple of other items on here. 11% said, I do not have any financial goals for 2025. They're going to have some problems. I think that's going to be a problem. So whatever your goals are, our target, our goal is to put you in that significantly improved category when we get to the end of the year. And we're going to do that. We're going to talk about an alternative option. I noticed a lot of the verbiage in here was saving for more, you know, for emergencies, saving more money for retirement, saving just generally. Saving for a non-essential purchase, saving to buy a home. We're going to take a look at an alternative option that is not simply saving, one that can help you meet a lot of those financial goals. And I think you might be surprised as we dive into some of the numbers. And I'm going to start by just looking at a single family rental house with you. What we do at Lifestyles Unlimited, we go out as members and we buy single family rental houses. We fix them up. We get them rented. We hold on to those for a period of time. Then we sell those, right? Or we tap into the equity maybe through a cash out refi. We do the same exact thing with apartments. Apartments are just like houses on a much bigger scale. They're a little bit different. We talk about the differences between the two quite frequently on the show, but I want to focus just on a single family house. So we're going to take a look at one that you could buy and see how this house could help you meet some of those very goals that Americans have set for themselves. So the particular house I have here, this came in my email just in the past couple of days. I'm not sure when, day or two ago. This is in Houston. I sit in Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas. Can I buy a house in Houston and have it renovated and rented and do all the things that we talk about from here down in Houston? Absolutely, I can. In fact, I have a few houses down that way. Not a problem. Can I do it in Tennessee or Georgia, where Lifestyles Realty is now present? Absolutely, I can. North Carolina, South Carolina, Kansas, Missouri, Arizona, any of the places where the infrastructure is there, I'm comfortable going. But this house is in Houston, and let's see here. It is a 1960 build, a little over 1,300 square feet. I like that size. 3-bed, 2-bath, 2-car garage. This is not a weird one that's got a garage conversion or a half bath or anything. It's bread and butter, 3-2-2. I love those. Now, here's the thing. Purchase price, $134,000. I'm going to have to fix it up. And I can tell, I don't know what the scope of work is here on this particular house, but because I see that the market value when I'm done fixing it up is $313,000, that's a pretty big spread. 60s build, that tells me there's quite a bit of work going into this. But get this, when I'm done and I get this thing rented, it's going to cash flow over $400 a month. Let's just call it $400. It's perfect. When I began this journey over 12 years ago, that was always my target, 400 or greater. Now, I've adjusted that over time because the market has shifted, interest rates have gone up, mortgages cost more. Typically, what we see now is net cash flow. Again, that's my profit every month, anywhere between $200 and $600 per house. So this one's squarely in the middle. That's $4,800 per year that is coming into my pocket. That is my net. That is my profit. So it's cash flow positive. We want to see cash flow. But man, because of that big spread there, buying for $134,000, doing the renovations, market value over $300,000 when I'm done, this thing has $76,000 in equity capture. What is that? I've just created that through the process. I have added value back to this property that is in bad shape because I'm buying right, getting it at a low price, doing the work. And we've got contacts, vendors, general contractors, all the trades that can help you with this. So we get the work done for a good price and quickly. As a result of that, I only have $20,000 of my own money invested, and I've created an addition. That's equity in itself, 20K. But I've created an additional $76,000 just by adding value back to this decrepit property. So my total equity in the property when I'm done is close to $100,000. Huge. But back to the cash flow, $400 per month, $4,800 per year, relative to my $20K invested, that's a 23.8% cash on cash return. Very big number there. Stocks, end of the year, right? What did they do? went the other direction. Equity capture relative to my cash invested, that's a 370% equity return. Return on my gain, very, very big. Now that's on paper until I do one of two things, either do a cash out refinance to pull that equity out or sell the property. May talk about that here in a little bit. But those are the big numbers already. Cash flow and that equity. If your goals are to improve your finances in this year and you went out and bought just one house and it was this house right here and now you're making an extra $400 per month. What was that? One of the goals in here said get an additional source of income. Bam! You've done it. Create or save more money for retirement. Bam! I've got an additional $76,000 that wasn't there before. But it doesn't stop there because we make money five ways on our houses. That's just two. Cash flow and the equity capture. I put this into an amortization schedule, said, okay, when I'm done fixing this up, if it's worth $313,000 and I can take a loan at 75% of loan to value, I know what my payment's going to be on that thing. I'm slowly, quietly in the background, essentially saving money as well by virtue of the fact that my resident, because I'm going to rent this, is paying down the mortgage on my behalf. We call that equity buildup. In the first year, that's going to be right around, on this property, right around $1,500 in equity buildup. If I measure that against my $20,000 invested, that's a 7.5% return. Those high yield savings accounts have been going the other direction. I have some funds parked in one. And I've been watching every month or so. Oh, you know, we're going to take it down 10 basis points. We're going to take it down. It's going the wrong direction. But right here, just by virtue of my resident paying the mortgage, I'm not paying it. I mean, I am paying it out of the funds that I collect from the rent, of course, but that's a 7.5% return. And we know that over time, all real estate doubles in value. That over 20 years, that's about a 3.5% rate of appreciation if you take that across that 20-year period. Let's call that market appreciation. And I will say here in Texas, we tend to see anywhere from 2, 3, 4, 5%, depending on the market in a normal year. Let's just call it 3.5%. Well, if that thing's worth $300,000 when I'm done fixing it up and it grows by 3.5% in the first year that I hold it, there's another another $10,000, bam, that I've added to my balance sheet. So those are four of the ways that we make money on this house. And then there are tax advantages. And this is important because you pay low to no taxes on that cash flow, on that monthly cash flow that's coming in thanks to depreciation. If you are doing this correctly, right, you will not pay taxes on that annual cash flow. And it gets even better because we have a ton of equity in this thing. I already mentioned we could do a cash out refinance to pull a good portion of that locked in equity out and redeploy it. And a cash out refinance, that's just a debt transaction. That is not a taxable event. I did a number of those on my houses last year to recapitalize, to reinvest. Or we sell to tap into that equity. You could take the gain, take the hit, or tax advantages, 1031 exchange, defer those gains, buy 2, 3, 4, 5 more. All right, quick break. We'll come back to those goals right after this.
Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show returns in a moment. Got questions? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com.
Life is challenging and ever-changing. Take control with passive income through real estate investing. Learn how, learn now. Let Del Walmsley and Lifestyles Unlimited's investors and mentors show you. Meet Del's team and get educated now at Lifestyles Unlimited. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited. Text radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007.
Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Andy Webb. Thank you for tuning in today. If you have any questions, send those over to me at askandy@luinc.com. And I hope you're having a great start to the year. We're taking a look at the notion of finances and what we think is going to happen this year. What are our expectations for our finances? 44% of Americans think they're going to improve at some level. Of course, that implies that 56% think it's either going to stay flat or worsen. I think it was like 33% said flat. So the balance says, oh, it's going to get worse. And I told you in the prior segment, I talked about a potential rental house that you could buy. And this is a house, a literal lead that I got from one of the realty team down in the Houston area. Great numbers, great numbers. And I want to take now those numbers that we talked about, and I want to apply those to some of the financial goals that people have expressed as part of the Bankrate survey, things they want to achieve in this year. Now, the top goal, if you remember, we talked about this earlier, the top goal is to pay down debt. 21% of people overall, right? Gen Zers, millennials, this is across all of the age brackets. There is some variation if you dive into those generations, but 21% overall said our top goal is we want to pay down debt. Think about this. Let's just say you have, you know, $20,000 in the bank right now. You could take all of that cash. You could wipe the debt clean if it's a 20K debt. Or you could take that 20K and invest in that house that we just talked about. Let's think about this. Let's say I have $20,000 in student loan debt, right? I want to pay that off. Bam, I do it all at once. I take my 20K out of savings. That's gone to zero. Debt is now zero as well. I breathe out. I feel great. I've met my goal. I've paid down debt. But when everything's said and done, what do I have to show for it? Well, I have no debt, right? Dave Ramsey, he's patting you on the shoulder. Good job. Good job. However, I could take that money out and I could buy that very single family rental house that we were just talking about, $20,000 out of pocket. That's what it takes in that particular case. And I could create that cash flow, $400 a month, $4,800 per year. And now with that cash flow coming in the door, it comes in the door. And what do I do with it? I pay down that student loan debt every month, whatever that payment plan. If the number's higher, well, maybe you need two houses. You know, if it's $800 a month that you're paying on that student loan, get two of these houses. If it's $1,200, get three of these houses. We call that cash flow chunking, by the way. Keep creating the chunks of cash flow coming in to offset outgoing debt. Now, I'm not going to wipe that student loan debt, that 20K, all at once, right? If you do the math, it's going to take, what, 4 or 5 years at $400 per month. But I'm cash flow neutral now. Cash is coming in. It's going back out the door. But I'm not taking that out of my regular living expenses, my regular budget that comes from the job, the W-2. I'm cash flow neutral. But what do I have then at the end of 3, 4, 5 years when that debt is zeroed out? I still own that house. I still have a cash flowing asset. I do have something to show for it. And it's not just cash flowing. It's making money five ways. You can do that with any of your debt goals. If you have a car payment you're wanting to zero out, or a truck payment, your the mortgage on your personal house. Now, I will tell you, we don't want you to take that to zero. You're going to have debt equity in that house. But whatever that debt is, if it's consumer debt, yeah, you want to get rid of that. You want to manage that better. And you do that through cash flow chunking. Get a cash flowing asset, point that inbound cash flow at that outbound monthly expense for that debt payment. Wash, rinse, and repeat. If you have $4,000 of outbound payments for debt, you buy 10 of those houses and you are now cash flow neutral. You're no longer having to support those debt payments out of your regular W-2 job. Cash flow chunking. And 10 houses sounds daunting if you haven't done one, but I will tell you it gets easier and easier because you realize, wow, the process of buying and renovating, leasing, operating, managing a house is pretty simple. That's what we teach you how to do here at Lifestyles Unlimited. We take the fear away. We pull the blinders off so that you see how easy it really is to do. And boy, when I think about that equity capture, why wouldn't you want to do that? Why wouldn't you want to do that? That takes us to our savings goals. There are a number of them here in the study. Saving more money for emergencies. 12% have that as a goal. Saving more money for retirement. 8% said that is their goal. Saving more money, period. Right? Saving for a non-essential purchase, 6%. So a lot of people are targeting savings. And I have to go back to that equity capture, $76,000. How long did it take us to create that out of thin air, in essence, by buying right and doing the renovations? Well, how long did the renovations take? 2, 3 months, 4 months, maybe, if it's a really big scope of work. $76,000 in a quarter of a year. Now, how long would it take you to save to that number? I didn't do the math, but you can put pen to paper, get a calculator out. It's going to take a while. Whether you're saving for that emergency fund or general savings or because you want some discretionary money to spend on whatever, equity capture gets you there faster. Now, it is trapped into that house until you do either a cash out refinance or you have a sale, but you've got the savings built in right there. And think about that appreciation. We talked about, you know, I just used 3.5%. Every submarket will be a little bit different. That value grows. That becomes greater equity. That is, in effect, savings. And think about that equity buildup. Same thing applies there. By the way, I didn't mention it. 4% here want to buy a new home. That's, I guess they're putting that as a financial goal. Well, if you want to buy your own house, and I get this question quite a lot. Well, Andy, I hear you talking about buying a rental house, but I'm still renting. I'm in an apartment. I'm in a condo, whatever. Shouldn't I buy my own house for it first before I invest in a rental house or multiple thereof? Won't the mortgage debt on that single family rental affect my debt to income ratio and therefore make it harder to buy, land me with a higher interest rate, therefore cost me more? No, not at all. In fact, if you think about it, this is a rental property and we want to see cash flow. If it doesn't cash flow, don't do the deal. And that's the beauty here. When I put a renter into place and they're paying my mortgage every month and I am netting cash at the end of the day, when I go to a lender for whatever refinance I'm doing, maybe I'm refinancing another rental house, if I'm refinancing my own personal house, are they just going to look at the debt? No, they're not. They're going to take that income into account as well. And that's the really cool thing. If you have a higher debt to income, you want to keep that in limits, of course. You want to work on keeping your credit score up. All these things do play into your interest rate and whatnot. But they take that rental income into account on that property. That's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Every time I add a house, I'm adding rental income as well. So it doesn't matter. You know, if you are targeting the purchase of your own home, do it now, do it later. You know, if you've got the funds for the down payment, you might consider getting that rental property first. I have a buddy that, he's been doing this longer than I have, a little north of 12 years, just bought his personal residence in the past couple of years, secured all of his financial goals through residential rental real estate first, and then bought a house. No problems. Didn't have a W-2 job income, got a Fannie Mae loan. Yeah. So no, don't let that be a consideration. And it is a concern that I hear quite a lot. Save money for retirement. This is something I need to address separately here as well. That is the goal. I want to save a pile of cash. Then I retire and then I get scared and I'm nervous and I hope I don't burn through all that gold, all that pile of cash before I die. It's a common fear. It is a very, very common fear for a lot of Americans that have retired. And that is because you've entered this whole process with the mindset of saving. You need to adjust that. You need a paradigm shift. And we talk about this at Lifestyles Unlimited quite a lot. And that shift is away from saving to creating income streams. If you have money coming in the door, no matter what you're doing, passive income, and that gold gets depleted, but you still have cash flow coming in the door, does that gold, disappearance of that gold, matter? No, it doesn't. It's just like if you take that $20,000 I mentioned to pay down that $20,000 out of your bank, to pay down that $20,000 in student loan debt or whatever the debt may be, then you have nothing to show for it. But if you've put together a portfolio of cash flowing assets, passive income, it doesn't go away. It just keeps coming in. Every house you add to your portfolio is an additional income stream, and you need to shift your mindset to think in those terms. In fact, I retired a number of years ago because I created enough passive income. I was 47 at the time. Didn't wait till 67, which is the age for my cohort. Done. We've got the passive income coming in. That's the beauty of it. You can pull the trigger a heck of a lot earlier than most people. Now, a lot of people saving for retirement, that's their goal. A lot of other people said, I want to go out and get a higher paying job or an additional source of income, 11% of people. That's risky. That's pretty darn risky. You've got all your eggs in one single basket, that job, or maybe a second one because you've gotten a second job. But think about that, changing to a new company, a new environment, a new manager, an unknown. That's pretty risky, in my view. I've done it a couple times. I don't do it anymore. So getting a new job, getting a second job, forget it. You don't need to do that if you create passive income instead and then create some more and create some more after that, and you are financially free when you have enough passive income coming in the door that it meets or exceeds your monthly expenses. Right? You're going to pay down that debt if that's your goal. You're going to get that done over time, and then you're going to have extra free cash flow coming in. And remember, every single family rental that you buy makes you money five ways, and that cash flow equates to an additional source of income. Buy another house, an additional source of income. Buy another house, just wash, rinse, and repeat. In 2014, I was working, and the company I worked for then did not give anybody raises. I don't think there were bonuses that year either, but I remember very clearly no raises because the sector was soft, right? We were closely tied in this case to the oil industry, and that was down. Business was down. No raises. But you know what I did that year? I bought five single rental houses, all of them cash flowing, and gave myself effectively, it was a $25,000 raise on the year, just like that. Just through the cash flow. Forget it. Doesn't even take into account the equity capture. Lots of that. The equity buildup over five houses, ample. The appreciation we've seen, etc. So there are a lot of financial goals that you may have. And you can meet these by investing in one or in more single-family rental houses. And we've not even talked about apartments. If you really want to magnify a lot of these things, you can go bigger. Economies of scale, syndications to where your out-of-pocket is even lower. There's a lot you can do in the apartment space. But I want to get back to that house, that single-family rental house. Those are really good numbers, by the way. Again, this was in Houston. This was a 1960s build, 322. I love that bread and butter. We have some other ones out there, you know, no garage, et cetera. But that's just kind of the bread and butter that people like to rent. 1,300 square feet, cash flowing $400 per month. Now, how does this house fit into the Lifestyles Unlimited model? We have a specific model that we follow. What does that look like? Well, we're going to find, first and foremost, we're going out and looking for residential real estate. Houses and apartments. That may be a duplex, triplex, quad. That falls under single family, by the way. We're going to buy these things. They're going to be in distressed condition. The more work it needs, the better price I'm going to get. Yes, I will have to go in and do renovations. That is how we add value. That's why this house has a $76,000 equity capture. It needs work, but we'll get the work done. What kind of renovations might we be doing on this house? I'm sure we're doing cosmetic, right? Typically, we're doing some level of cosmetic work. And we may be doing what we call the big five. The big five are typically added expenses that are can be significant. That's the HVAC, the air conditioning system. That's the roof. That's the foundation. That's the plumbing, whether that's supply lines or sewer lines or both. And that's the electrical. Those are the big five, and they're called the big five for a reason. This house, just looking at the spread between purchase and after repair value, probably hitting all five of those. Now, how are we getting those renovations done? Are we doing those renovations? No way. No way. In fact, we teach you how to do the renovations in terms of process, right? What goes into those renovations. But we want you to remain hands off. You're going to learn how to use other people's time. That's your general contractor. You're going to learn how to use other people's knowledge. Again, your general contractor, your mentor when you have questions, other investors. And you're going to learn how to use other people's money. Yeah, we put financing on these things. That is the only way to keep the out-of-pocket that low. $20,000 out-of-pocket on what is probably a $100,000 renovation. Only way to keep it that low is by using financing. Hard money, topic for another show, which we then refinance out of into a conventional loan once everything is fixed up and ready to go. But we keep that $20,000 invested, and you magnify your returns as a result. I mean, where else do you get a consistent 23.8% return? That is the cash-on-cash return, $4,800 per year divided by the $20,000 invested. Where do you get a 370% return in 3-4 months? That's your return on your capital gain. You get it by buying right, buying at a discount, following the motto, right, when it goes to the renovations, best product, best price. Anything that's broken now or could break in the next handful of years while I'm holding this as a rental investment, fix it now. You're bringing all that maintenance, all that capital expenditure forward into the renovation period so that you can glide through to the end of your hold period. And then what do? You sell. Do a 1031 exchange, defer the capital gains taxes, and roll into the next couple of houses that look like this one. Now, do they all have a $76,000 capital gain or equity capture? No. I looked at one the other day. It was $20,000 out of pocket with a $20,000 equity capture. So at the end of the day, I'm sitting on $40,000. That is still a 100% return. Probably lower risk because a lower renovation budget, but still a 100% return. And you get the cash flow, and you get the equity buildup, and you see the market appreciation, and you enjoy the tax advantages. So that's on our houses. Apartments, same five ways, plus something called forced appreciation, topic for another show. I want to go back to the bank rate study because they asked a question with respect to those financial goals. And we talked about some of the financial goals people have. They asked the question, how would you expect to address this main financial goal in the coming year? This is interesting. 43% said it's an immediate priority. This is a New Year's resolution. I hate that. You need to set goals. We talked two shows ago on the topic of setting goals, smart goals. Make it formal. Put it in writing. A New Year's resolution is too fleeting. 35%, it's a medium-term issue. I will address this once I've had some time to think and plan. Okay. 13% said, I'm going to address this after I've had an extended period to do some research, seek advice, etc. I think it's good to have a mentor. I think it's good to get educated. 10%, by the way, don't know. Only 43% were even close to what you should be doing, which is setting goals. But those that are taking time to think and plan and do some research, seek advice, don't know. Well, I know. You have to take action. You have to take action. You have to start now. Find someone that can be by your side as a mentor. Find somebody that can give you the education that you need. But start now. Don't wait. Then the year will be over and you'll be in that negative category again. Go to lifestylesunlimited.com, register for the free workshop, and get that ball rolling, and you're going to have a fantastic year. Thank you for listening. Remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at lifestylesunlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.